Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. Dear friends of Christ, during Lent, of course, we take a journey with Jesus to the cross, 40 days. And we confess with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And of course, that's my confirmation verse, so I've always appreciated that. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I've always kind of grown into that confirmation verse as I became a pastor. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to stand up for Jesus. I'm not ashamed to let people know that Jesus is my life and Jesus is my salvation. And without Jesus, I'm nothing, nothing. In fact, without Jesus, I'm lost and condemned. That my Jesus died on a cross for me. And I'm sure you're not ashamed of that either. That you have a Savior who bore a cross. You have somebody who loved you very much, and yet you know that cross was painful. It was a difficult journey. Any cross is difficult. And we in our lives say, you know, things like, yes, you know, I'm suffering right now. It's my cross to bear. I have difficulties in my life right now. It's the cross I have to bear. And we say things like that whenever we have cancer or maybe an abusive spouse or maybe finances aren't going well or we live in disability or pain. It's my cross to bear. And so we think that that's a cross. Minor sufferings in this life are not a cross. Do you know what a cross is? The disciples understood. When Jesus talked about taking up our cross, he was not talking about taking up our personal pain. He wasn't talking about enduring through all those difficulties when he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what does Jesus mean by when he says, take up your cross? Well, it doesn't sound like fun. And actually it isn't. Taking up your cross is not embracing the hardships in your life or even enduring those difficult trials, even though they're very hard. So what does he mean, the cross? 2,000 years ago, the disciples saw something that we will never see. The disciples would witness people dying along the roadside. It was a common sight. As you traveled by Jerusalem to see crosses with people dying on them, to hear them crying out in pain as they lived their last moments of life in this earth. The disciples actually watched people die. They knew that the cross is an instrument of pain and torture for criminals. If you lived a bad life, that's how your life ended. So what do you think the disciples thought when Jesus told them, if anybody would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me? They understood what Jesus was saying. Jesus was calling them to die with him. That they would have to make an ultimate sacrifice. And by the way, every single one of them did. They all gave their lives. They were all martyred. All the disciples were killed except for John. They all died for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus. And they took up their cross. That's the price that we pay to follow Jesus. Take up the cross. It's a willingness to endure shame. It's the endurance, it's a fortitude to embrace embarrassment. How many of you kids at school pray when you're at school for lunch? time to give Jesus thanks. There is food before you, and it comes from God. And yet, in your embarrassment, you don't bow your head or close your eyes. If you're really bold, you might still pray. But in your shame, no words come out of your mouth. To take up our cross, to embrace the embarrassment, the reproach, the disdain, the persecution, the people that might make fun of you because you believe in a person who died on a cross. To suffer even martyrdom for His sake. That's a tall order. Our theme, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Following Jesus requires a bold confession. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It's a bold confession. Not ashamed. Again, Jesus was not ashamed. He was not ashamed to go to the cross for us. He was not ashamed to bear the cross. He was not ashamed to hang there. He was not ashamed to die for us. He was willing. He embraced it. Our text. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer. He has to suffer many things. He has to be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and all the leaders of the church and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. That's a phrase that the Bible uses to talk about the human nature of Jesus, the Son of Man. He was born on Christmas. He took on human flesh to be like us. The Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the King of Kings, the second person of the Trinity. God Himself became the Son of Man. He took on human flesh so that He could die. He needed food and water to stay alive. He needed shelter and a place to sleep at night. He even allowed Himself to be tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin. He even endured rejection. People didn't love Him. People didn't like what He had to say. He was a perfect guy that everybody loved to hate. And when He taught things that the people didn't want to hear, they rejected Him. They called Him a drunkard and a glutton. They called Him the son of the devil, the son of Beelzebub. As the Son of Man, Jesus was whipped, and Jesus was beaten, and Jesus was crucified, and Jesus was mocked, and they spat upon Him, and they rejected Him. And He was never ashamed to suffer. He was never ashamed to bear the flesh for you. Never ashamed to carry His cross. In fact, He carried it proudly and willingly because He knew that when He did, we would live. That was our life. And yet the burden on Jesus is incredible. The burden of the cross is He spent long nights in prayer dealing with what He knew was coming His way. It was very difficult. Asking for strength. Asking for help. And we can't even begin to imagine how difficult it was to face, to carry the cross. Clearly, Jesus described the offense to the disciples. Spoke about how He'd be handed over to the Gentiles and how the Jews would reject Him. And again, the disciples knew Jesus was going to die. It wasn't a secret. That's why Peter pulled Him aside and rebuked Him. It can't happen to you. You're better than this. You're one of the good guys. God doesn't die. I want you to stop talking like that. And of course, Jesus pulls Him aside and says, Peter, Peter, get behind me, Satan. I have a job to do, and it's the cross. And if I don't accomplish my job, all of you die, and that's what Satan wants. Get behind me. Can't listen to that voice. this terrible instrument of torture, given for criminals to die, called a cross, was predicted. Isaiah 53 described Jesus' death no less than 650 years before the event took place. He was pierced for our transgressions, speaking of the nails in his hands and feet. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment of God that brought us peace. And with his wounds we're healed, and the Lord God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus bore it all willingly. 1,000 years before Calvary, King David also predicted Jesus' death in Psalm 22. We read that just a little bit in our psalm. Speaking of his cross and passion, my God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock me. They make their mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let God deliver him. Let God rescue him, for he delights in him. If you look at Jesus, the night before he is crucified, there is a determination on his face. Obviously a sense of sorrow. He knows the cross is coming, and yet for the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's what Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him. And again, Jesus didn't want to die, but he did want to save you. And he's willing to do anything to do it. Our salvation and his ultimate glorification was his joy. But the cross was a passion. The cross was a suffering. And he endured the cross and the shame and the beating to save us. Jesus was eager to carry out the will of his Father, to be the Savior that the world needs, to fulfill his job, to give his life. And Jesus was not ashamed of his cross. He was not ashamed to be your Savior. He was not ashamed to love you. And we're not ashamed of his cross either. Yet it's one thing for Jesus to bear the cross for us. It's a whole nother thing for us to bear the cross for Jesus. Our text says Jesus called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." What is a cross? These are difficult words. Jesus calls us to salvation. That part's easy. Yes, Lord, I believe in you. Yes, okay, my sins are forgiven. My sins are washed away. I now live in life in Christ. That's the easy part. However, he also calls us to follow him, taking up the cross. It means self-denial. Why are we called to deny ourselves? Well, it's simple. He denied himself for us. The cross is a pattern of self-denial. What is your motivation for denying all the things that you want to do that you know are wrong? What is your motivation? Do you follow in the ways of the Lord because you're terrified of God? You know the laws are there, and if you break the laws, there's eternal damnation, so you better be good or you're going to die. Is that why you obey the Lord? Is your motivation fear? Are you terrified of God the Father? No, you shouldn't be. You have nothing to fear. Jesus bore the cross for you. All the wrath of God, all the anger toward you, all the anger over your sin and death, put on him. He bore it all. He carried the cross. Paid in full. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was out of love. Out of love, it's done. It's complete. Your salvation has been paid for. All of you are set free. You will now live, and I will die, but you will live. and the price has been paid. Christ's love motivates us. Self-denial, why? Because he loves us. Because he denied himself. Christ's love motivates us to love him, to serve him, to obey him, to follow him. It's called the action of faith. And Paul describes about this privilege we have. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus. Strange language. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. Weird stuff. He carried the cross. He denied himself. Why? Because he loves us. And his love motivates us to deny ourselves. And it means we choose to deny our sinful nature and its desires. Our lives are a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. That's what we are. We're pleasing to God. All of us very pleasing to Jesus. God the Father loves us. We season this dark world with the fragrance of His grace, of His undeserved love. We season this world with the message of the cross, with the message of salvation in Christ. We fill this world with the fragrance of His will, the fragrance of following in the ways of God. Of being that godly man, of being that godly woman, being that godly child, we are the fragrance of Christ. A fragrance, strange language. Paul explains how this works. 2 Corinthians. I thank God who always leads us in the victory because of Christ. Wherever we go, God uses us to make clear what it means to know Christ. It's like a fragrance that fills the air. To God, we are the aroma of Christ among those who are saved and among those who are dying. We're the fragrance of Christ. To some people, we're a deadly fragrance, while to others, we are a life-giving fragrance. Don't you see? As a Christian, you take up your cross. You follow Christ. Your sins are forgiven and you're a fragrance in this world. A fragrance. And as you do, do you know what happens? Do you know what oozes forth from your pores? Do you know what flows from your body? The words and the deeds and the acts of Christ to love as you've been loved. It is the life of Jesus in your body. It is the death of Jesus in your body. We always carry about in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. And Jesus himself explains this process of faith. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in return for his soul? Every now and then I like to remind people when they're suffering, they're going through a lot of pain, and I have the opportunity, I have the privilege to talk to them and to remind them. They say, I'm struggling and I'm bearing this cross. My life is a living hell, but I'm bearing my cross. And I remind them they're not. Do you know what a cross is? Jesus bore it for you. And he bore that cross with a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of suffering. Now I know Jesus doesn't take away all your suffering and pain in this world, and he's not going to. But he does take away the defeat, and he does take away the hopelessness. He gives us a hope, and he gives us a future. Because he carried his cross to save you, and he denied himself that you might live. This is an adulterous and a corrupt generation. These are Jesus' words, not mine. It's an adulterous and corrupt generation. People desperately need Jesus, and they need the season, the fragrance of His grace, seen in your life and seen in mine, that others might know that they need to be rescued, to love as Christ has loved us, to serve as Christ served us, and to confess what He's done, and to tell others about the cross. And don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you words to say. That's what God promises, to give you the right words. So it's our honor, it's our privilege to take up our cross and follow Him, to tell others what He has done. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.